And I would like to focus our attention on several verses, verses 12 through 19. Will you please follow along as I read out loud to you? Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions by Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." And from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When God began his work of creation, we read in the first chapter of Genesis that darkness covered everything. It covered the face of the earth. It was utter darkness. There was no light anywhere. It was a complete darkness, the likes of which we've never experienced, unless perhaps you've gone into the recesses of a very long cave. It was utter darkness with no light, not a glimmer of light. And then God created the light and pronounced it was good. And light became then the fit environment for everything else he created. Everything else that God created, he brought into existence in the light. Light was the first and most important condition then for the rest of creation, because light is a quality of God. And as such, the natural light of the world bears testimony to the supernatural light of God. The light of God refers to his majesty and holiness, his wisdom and righteousness and glory, as we've considered over the past several weeks. And man, who was created in his image, was also imbued with this natural light, which we call the conscience, and that conscience was that light which constantly bore testimony to him of God. But man did not retain this happy and holy estate. Adam and Eve sinned by eating the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as a result of that, they and all of their posterity along with them, all of humanity, was plunged into utter darkness. Not a physical darkness that removed light from the eyes, but a spiritual darkness that removed light from the understanding. Holiness, righteousness, wisdom, and glory were lost as those guiding principles to man's understanding. His understanding was plunged then into this abject darkness, that former natural light that guided him in his conscience was displaced with a new law of sin, so that his mind has become the source of unending misery. Men now walk about in the darkness of depression and anxiety, of grief and sorrow, which they cannot escape from. And this is because God has cursed man for the sin of Adam, and that curse is to grope in darkness. And in this darkness, this spiritual darkness, man cannot help but commit crimes against God, commit crimes against other men, and even to commit crimes against himself. And this is because this spiritual blindness has blinded men to everything that is good. The Holy Spirit describes this condition as he speaks to us through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 in this way, when he says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are not only deserving of death, but they also approve of these same things in others who practice them." And if this is not proof enough of the darkness that has filled men's minds, The Holy Spirit goes on to say in Romans chapter 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one who understands, none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is no one who does good, not one. Their throat is an open grave. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is under their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. And there is no fear of God before their eyes. Men's minds have been plunged into sin, and sin is death. And death means separation from God, not just physical death, but an actual separation from God. Men are born into this world dead in their understanding. They are separated from God then in their minds. Darkness covers their understanding, and that darkness is an utter darkness. There is not the least glint of natural light left. Nature's night has displaced nature's light. But that is not even the worst of it. If a man dies in this condition, he will be plunged into hell, and there he will suffer separation from God that is beyond our comprehension. There he will find utter darkness with not even a glint of natural light. Hell is utter and complete separation from the saving work of God. Not just separation in the physical sense that you will not be in the same place at the same time as God. Not just separation in your understanding that the principles of God's Word are no longer guiding principles in your mind, but separation from everything that God is. Separation from all goodness, beauty, wisdom, and truth. Hell will be a fit place for all those who scoff at the gospel of God and have scorned His truth and the preaching of that message while on this earth. For those who have had contempt for the author of goodness and beauty and truth, there will be a complete absence of those qualities when they are cast into hell. There will be utter evil with no restraints, not even the least remnant of natural affection, not the smallest shred of human decency will exist there. Those are all aspects of the light of the glory of God, and there will be none of that light in hell. Hell will be a place of atrocity after atrocity, one act of barbarism followed by another, without truth which establishes order, chaos and pandemonium reign, not just as an annoyance or as a nuisance which we occasionally deal with here in this sin-cursed earth, but it will be the cause of a constant clamor from souls that are in terror from that confusion. This, then, is what is meant by this passage which we have just read, that those living in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has dawned. Because this is the shadow of death under which all men live. And if that shadow is not lifted by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the shadow of it will become the reality of it. In the darkness of their understanding, men turn everywhere for light, for answers, except for God. This passage that we read as our opening text was a prophecy that was first uttered by Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament. The conditions which immediately preceded it were that men had turned away from looking to God for light to live by and had turned to mediums and wizards and spiritists. They were desperate for someone to shine some light on their way, but in their sin they turned to that which the Lord detests. And Isaiah exhorted them to turn to the law and to the testimony. He told them to listen to the word of the Lord, but they would not hear it. And God says through Isaiah that the reason they will not hear it is because there is no light in them. men are born into this world now under nature's night. There is no light left in them as an abiding principle of the Word of God. And for that reason, they will pass through this life, as Isaiah puts it, hard-pressed and hungry. And it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged and curse their king and their God. Then they will look to the earth and see nothing but trouble and darkness, gloom and anguish, and they will be driven further into darkness. All this because man had forsaken the light of the testimony and of the Word of God, and consequently was cursed by God to wander in the darkness of his own blinded understanding, to his own ruin and his own misery. This is the dismal and depressing condition of fallen humanity. The Apostle John says, "Men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But thanks be to God, He has not left men without a testimony of His light. He has not left men to this dreadful condition without any hope. Though we would not at one time and could not do anything to help ourselves out of this miserable estate, God did. When men had been driven into darkness and the gloom of anguish, Isaiah the prophet goes on to write it saying, "Nevertheless, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." God did not wait for men to gain understanding so that they would come to Him. But God says through Isaiah the prophet in another place, "I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them, and I will not forsake them." And this He did for us by sending His own Son from heaven to earth. Jesus Christ came into this world to bring the light of the gospel, to be that light which lightens men. In John 1:1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And in verse 14 we read, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus Himself in His earthly ministry took the words of Isaiah and applied them to Himself when He said in Luke 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." This, dear ones, is the heart and soul of the gospel. Gospel, which as you know means good news. This is the good news of the gospel. The good news is that Christ has come into this world to set free those who through their blindness have been held captive by Satan all their lives to do his will. The Apostle Paul says that Satan is the god of this age who has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. But as we read in the words of Matthew, that prophecy from Isaiah, "Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Dear ones, if you are here tonight and you have never before considered your plight due to the blindness of your sin, I would urge you, do not spend one more hour in the grip of nature's night. Do not tempt God for one more minute. He has brought you here this evening to this place, this time, where the light has been able to break through the darkness, if only for a moment for you. And I would urge you to take full advantage of it. God has spared your life this long. You have no idea how much longer He will spare it. The reason we celebrate this season is because God has caused His light to shine in the darkness, our darkness. Paul says in another place, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." What knowledge? It is the knowledge that Christ came to earth and was born a baby in a manger on Christmas Day. And that He grew and lived a perfect life to fulfill the law's demands. And then He died on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins, so that by our believing in Him, we might be saved from the awful, dreadful wrath of God that is coming upon all unbelief. That is the true light which lightens every man coming into this world. You may have come here this evening as a stranger to Christ and to the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in this world, but I would urge you, do not leave here in that same dangerous, dreadful condition. Put your trust in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and let healing, which is true healing, begin. In John 1 and verse 12, we read, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." And to those who are here this evening, who have made peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, may this serve then as a reminder of what we have been saved from, lest our hearts grow weary and hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, and we would find ourselves plunged again into the darkness of nature's night. For Paul says in Hebrews, "But exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast our confidence to the end. Therefore, while it is still called today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion." When the time was right, God sent His Son into this world, born of a virgin, born under the law, to redeem all those who suffered all their lives under the bondage of sin and nature's night. Will you please bow your heads with me? Father, we are very glad for the work of Christ on our behalf. That You sent Your Holy Spirit to awaken us to our plight, that we who were once lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, who held closely to our sin, but we have now been set free. I pray, Father, that this freedom which You have given us would not be used in any kind of dissipation, but that we would use it to freely worship You. That we would testify to those around us of the life-changing grace of God of which we have become partakers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.